I've often said that I don't believe government has the answer to every problem or that it can do all things for all people. We're a nation built on the strength of individual initiative. Buy your own damn fries.
I'm on a mad style-y, underground, we come cool and deadly with that natural sound and make you feel so free, you know, turn it down. Life 619 from the South Town, and Jano, what I and I wanna do, because Jano, I am, I stay true, you know, Jano, the real who is who, ain't no time to fake it, make it feel brand new. It goes 1, 2, 3, the crew is called P.O.D. And if you wanna go to the tip top, break it down with that one drop. Why, oh.
Say hey, kids. Welcome back to another exciting episode of My Life as a Foodie. My name is Phil. Today we're talking about what the hell a foodie actually is. I mean, are you a foodie or are you just an eater? We're going to find that out. We're going to talk about Top Chef, Paula Deen, and a whole lot more. Baseball's back. I love spring for a lot of reasons, man. Growing tomatoes and herbs for one, but baseball for sure. My Dodgers look great. We have a lot to be excited about here in Los Angeles, and I'm just happy to see baseball back. I'm sure a lot of you heard, or most of you heard, about what happened with that young Anaheim Angels pitcher, Nick Adenhart. He was coming home from dinner with his father and a couple of friends. He had just pitched his first game of the season, did great, very young kid. He was hit by a drunk driver on his way to a club, and he and his two friends were killed instantly. With his other two friends in the car, the driver just comes charging down, runs a red light, going 65 miles an hour, and kills all of them on impact. Now he's charged with 3 counts of murder. This accident happens less than 2 miles from where I used to live, from where I recorded the show until we moved into our new home last August. Drunk driving, I have always said, was going to be the end of us. I think penalties need to be a lot stiffer than they are, and without completely outlawing alcohol, which is where you're going to see this go, if it continues to get bad in our country, we need to do something to deter people from driving with blood alcohol levels as high as this jackass was driving with. He had something like 0.24, which literally makes you see triple, not double. No way should you be behind the wheel of a car with a blood alcohol content of 0.24. I don't want to get on a soapbox. I just think it's very sad that this kid had to lose his life because somebody couldn't control themselves. And I wish things like this didn't happen because it happens way too often. That kid had a very bright future ahead of him. He was loved by his teammates, and I think it's great that the Angels have dedicated the season to him. I'm not an Angels fan, but when they're not playing the Dodgers, I think they're okay. But when they are playing the Dodgers, I'll forget about it. It's another story. And listen, on the subject of baseball, Erin Zimmer from Serious Eats did a fantastic job. She had this great post. Was it she or he? I'm not even sure. Yeah, anyway, great post about food available at the new Yankee Stadium, because you know they opened a new stadium this year. So if any of you are interested in checking that out, go to newyork.serioseats.com. Take a look at this post. First look at new Yankee Stadium food is what it's called. It's fantastic. So good. They have everything you could imagine at this place. The photography's brilliant, too. She did a great job. He did a great job. It's really well done. It makes you want to visit the stadium, but I'm telling you something. I can only imagine how expensive the food is there. Parking, the food, just to get into the stadium. Because that team has the highest payroll in baseball. And they've got to get their money back somehow. Guess how they're doing it? From you. Concessions. All right, anyway. What the hell is a foodie? What is the difference between a foodie and an eater? If you follow the blog, mylifeasafoodie.com, because it's more than just a podcast now, I'm trying to write as well. So you may have noticed I posted recently a post on blood sausage, or boudin noir, as the French call it. And while I'm writing this, I realize that food like this, old world dishes, old recipes from countries made up of people who really have a reverence and a connection with food, that the word foodie doesn't even exist there because they're already connected. They're connected in the right way, and food like this comes from the heart. As I said in the post, a dish like this is made out of necessity. Eating the nasty bits, less desirable cuts, the things we don't see available in grocery stores here, the things we actually have to go looking really hard to find, these delicious dishes made from these cuts of meat or parts of the animal, this is real food. This is where food shows its true self. Go to France or Italy or Spain. Any country in Europe, Asia, South America, anywhere but here. There are no foodies. That word does not exist. We made that term up to define ourselves as people who care so deeply about food that we obsess over it. We think about what we might make for dinner or what's for lunch right when we wake up or we're in the shower. What vegetables are sitting in the crisper drawer from the farmer's market? Maybe I can pick up a whole chicken at lunch. Maybe we can have broccoli tonight with a chicken. And you're browsing your latest copy of the food magazine that you read over coffee or lunch. Maybe looking for a recipe online, reading the food blogs. Maybe you subscribe, your RSS feed, or you subscribe to the food blogs. You look for recipes that you can try tonight on your when you get home. You think about all this stuff. You think about food and food issues when you're not thinking about other important things in your life, like work and family, things like that. This doesn't exist elsewhere because it's automatic for them. They grew up knowing how to eat in France. Italians are all about food, but they don't make a huge deal out of it. My life as a foodie would be the laugh of Naples if they found out about our show there. We make a big deal out of it because we haven't been programmed to think like this all of our lives. Not all of us, anyway. And I'd like to know that that's going to change. Maybe the current food revolution that we talked about the last show, maybe that will help change that. But I know for an absolute fact that the words blood sausage in that post had to turn some people's stomachs. They just can't do it. That's a sad state of affairs that we're in that regard, but it's no shock. It's just proof that we still have ground to cover here. I got into this discussion at lunch last week with some friends and co-workers. Italians, they'll take 2 to 3 hour lunch with wine. Then they'll go back to work, work a few more hours, take a short break around 5 or 6, work a couple more hours, then they go to dinner. Food consumes the day for them, but it's very commonplace. And they get their work done, but lunch, that's important. The world stops for lunch. In Vietnam, the world stops for a bowl of noodles. Here, it's quick. Get me to Jack in the Box or McDonald's drive-thru. I'm not even going in. I have 30 minutes. I got to pick up Susie from school. I'll eat this in a car. Bobby has soccer practice at 3. Andrea has dance at 5. No dinner together during the week. Nope, no way. Too much going on. Families are not together during the week. Kids have scout meetings, soccer practice, homework, piano lessons. Dinner together? Forget about it. You're kidding me. It's Tuesday. Taco Tuesday at Taco Bell. We'll eat that in the car on the way to soccer practice. Dinner? We'll do that on the weekend together. That's when families see each other, usually on the weekends. That's what life is like here in the United States. That is the life of an eater. Somebody who eats out of necessity because they need fuel. They know they have to eat. They make it quick. Those of us who make dinner the feature event of the day or the evening, we make the world stop for dinner. Everyone eats together. We laugh. We talk about our day. We share stories. We have seconds if it's really delicious. We do the dishes together, maybe. We make dinner an event. We make it a focus, and we take care that the ingredients are fresh and delicious, and it's something you'll remember having had that night. That is the life of a foodie. And someday, I think that word may cease to exist because it will be commonplace for all of us to approach food as a central focus in our lives. And I'll tell you something else. I hated the term foodie when I first heard it. It sounded a little too metrosexual for my taste at the time. And not that I have any problem whatsoever with metrosexuals, but it didn't seem to be a word I wanted to use to label myself in my approach to food or my obsession with it. But it's become kind of common, this word, foodie. And there really isn't a better way of describing us and what we do and what we're about. We're growing in population, so there's strength in numbers, so there's more foodies now than there were before. And I looked it up on Wikipedia. Wikipedia says, foodie is an informal term for a particular class of aficionado of food and drink. The word was coined in 1981 by Paul Levy and Ann Barr, who used it in the title of their 1984 book, The Official Foodie Handbook. So, it's been around 2 decades, and I'm just getting late to the party here. Let's see what else it says here. Although the two terms are sometimes used interchangeably, foodies differ from gourmets in that gourmets are epicures of refined taste who may or may not be professionals in the food industry, whereas foodies are amateurs who simply love food for consumption, study, preparation, and news. Gourmets simply want to eat the best food, whereas foodies want to learn everything about food, both the best and the ordinary, and about the science, industry, and personality surrounding food. For this reason, foodies are sometimes viewed as obsessively interested in all things culinary. There is also a general feeling in the culinary industry that the term gourmet is outdated. So, there you have it. I mean, that kind of describes us, doesn't it? We're a bunch of nuts. We're a bunch of food-crazed nuts. And listen, I'll tell you something else. I thank all of you for being food nuts with me. So, fellow foodies, thank you, because I don't like being alone.
Your cousin says prison food is not so bad. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Your paternal aunt's youngest son, Kerry Brybeck, told you today that, in his opinion, prison food is better than you would think. Brybeck added that he actually finds himself looking forward to Frito Pie Tuesdays.
Really, the food isn't worse here than a lot of places I've eaten, and it's free.
Brybeck added that he was happy to find a prison bitch who had more teeth than his girlfriend on the outside. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Hey, so check it out. June 10th is the debut of Bravo's Top Chef Masters. Three chefs represent Chicago in this first episode. Rick Bayless, who you all know who he is, Graham Elliott Bowles of Graham Elliott, and Art Smith of Table 52. Isn't Art Smith Oprah's personal chef? I think so. Anyway, it's a spinoff of Top Chef, and it's going to have a different format. Instead of all 24 chefs cooking against each other at once, there are going to be rounds. So in the first six episodes, four chefs compete in each episode. Those winners compete against each other in the final four shows to pick the overall winner. The Chicago chefs will be up against Wiley Dufresne of WD-50 in New York, Cindy Palkin of Mustard's Grill in Napa Valley, and Roy Yamaguchi of Roy's Restaurants in San Diego. The only thing I'm not 100% fan of is the host that they chose for the show, Kelly Choi. She does the show Eat Out New York. It's a restaurant show. She's kind of annoying. I've seen her before. So hopefully she won't talk a lot on the show. But who knows? I'm not going to pass judgment until it airs. But it doesn't look good for that. On the judges panel will be Gail Green, James Osland, Savoir Magazine editor, and Jay Rayner, who's a British journalist. It debuts June 10th on Bravo. So I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I love Top Chef. I think one of the best Food Network shows they ever did was Next Iron Chef America, because it really had great professional chefs who were actually fighting for a coveted slot on Iron Chef America, which really is the only show that Food Network has left that's worth watching. So when you have professional chefs duking it out, you can rest assured you're not going to see really bad dishes or something getting screwed up majorly. I mean, these people cook in the weeds all the time. So they don't screw up dishes. They're major leaguers. They don't strike out at the plate with the bases loaded. Not these guys. So it's going to be very, very good. If on the talent alone, on the merit of these chefs, it's going to be great. June 10th on Bravo, Top Chef Masters. Set your DVR. And hey, listen, while we're on the subject of Top Chef, I got to say something about our dear Padma. Those of you who watch Top Chef know who Padma Lakshmi is, right? She's the co-host, really cute. She's a model, Indian, nice rack, really well-spoken. Very sexy. Well, last year, Bourdain had a falling out with Top Chef. He said he was a huge fan of Tom Colicchio. He's a friend of his. But Padma, not so much. He said she wouldn't be his first choice as a host, and he didn't find her appropriate for the show. And I wondered, on the show, I even mentioned this, I wondered why he'd say this. Because everybody loves Padma. Now I'm thinking about it. Maybe he had a point. Maybe that point had been proven recently. You may have seen this ad, but I'm going to play the audio for you. It features Padma wearing a very slinky dress with half of her boobs hanging out of her top, eating a sloppy burger on some steps, licking her lips, and sucking on her fingers. Bow, chica, bow.
I've always had a love affair with food. I think I've tasted every flavor imaginable. But there's something about the Western bacon. It reminds me of being in high school, sneaking out before dinner to savor that sweet, spicy sauce and leaving no evidence behind.
The Carl's Jr. Western Bacon $6 Burger. More than just a piece of meat.
Oh yeah, Carl's Jr. So basically, she took a page out of Paris Hilton's playbook. But because she has street cred from Top Chef, there's not a real issue, right? Well, I'll tell you something. I don't respect this move at all. And apparently I'm not alone, because blogs dedicated to Top Chef said it was a cheap move. I'm not going to deny her the right to make a commercial and make a buck and cash in on her celebrity. But let's face something. If you're willing to sell your soul to the devil, you're more than welcome to do that. Just don't ask us to respect your opinion at Top Chef Judges Table anymore. Her job on that show is not only to be a host and to look nice, but she judges the food from the contestants. Who the hell's going to respect that palate now? Carl's Jr.? This is the difference between a foodie and an eater. That is something an eater does, Carl's Jr. I'm hungry, gotta eat. But a foodie, they're going to go for something better than that, if they can. Unless you're in a hurry. I mean, everyone's got a right to go eat fast food if that's all you have, but... I don't dream about the hot sauce. I mean, what's next? Wally Dufresne doing commercials for Burger King? This is a sellout. Padma sold out. And I'll tell you, I thought about this a long time ago. I thought it was a little bit weird in season 3, for those of you who've been watching it that long. You remember the breakfast challenge? Padma wakes everybody up out of bed. She tells them, hey, you're going to make me breakfast. That's the challenge. So they did. And Hung, who ended up winning the whole thing, he won the challenge. But you know what he won? He won a copy, an advanced copy, of Padma's new cookbook. Padma wrote a cookbook? That's what I was thinking. You should have seen Hung's face when she gives this to him as a prize. He's looking at it like, oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. And I'm sure it's right there on his bookshelf at home. He cooks from it all the time. But listen, it doesn't stop there, because she just appeared nude in the latest edition of Allure magazine, which I guess is a women's magazine that makes Cosmo look like highlights. When it comes to sexiness, I mean, Cosmo's like a comic book. This thing's whoa. I mean, she's naked in this thing. Of course, you don't see anything, of course. I mean, it's not Playboy. But she's not wearing any clothes. I mean, I thought, why is she doing this? I had to wonder. She's cashing in on her celebrity, and I don't blame her for that. She's beautiful. Why not cash in on it? You're popular. And this move doesn't bother me at all. You want to appear naked? No problem. It's the Carl's Jr. thing that bugs me. That's an affront to foodies who watch the show. If you want to sex up a product, work with the Egg Council or do a Got Milk ad or something. Or hell, work with PETA. I wouldn't even have a problem with that. I know they'd pay you good money to get naked. They've done it before. I'd even respect you more for it. You can say, fur is murder. It doesn't have to be about killing ducks or overfeeding geese or any of that shit. I mean, I love you, Padma, but man, stop with the Carl's Jr.
It's the Onion Radio News. A grocery store worker can no longer bear to eat food. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Pick and Save stock boy Joel Melcher of Florissant, Missouri, admitted today that his constant overexposure to groceries has destroyed his taste for food. Melcher, who was at first delighted by the store's 25% employee discount, has lost his enthusiasm.
When I first started working here, I thought, this is awesome. I'll be able to bring home bags of food from work every night. But now I'm around it all day long, and by the end of the day, I can't even stand to look at frozen food, baked goods, meat, dairy items, or produce. Ugh, it makes me sick just thinking about it.
Melcher now vows firmly that when he gets a new job, he will, quote, never set foot in a grocery store ever again. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
So listen, I've been kind of off the Paula Deen hate wagon for a while, so I thought I'd jump back on just for a second. If you follow Paula Deen, and you follow her recipes, I gotta wonder about you. Because I'm convinced that she is out to make your ass fat and to give you heart disease. And if you don't believe me, I want you to listen to this.
What I'm fixing to do is fry up the Lady and Sons macaroni and cheese. I'm gonna wrap it in bacon, and we're gonna deep fry it. So here goes, y'all.
Here goes, y'all? Here goes what, my arteries? What demonic, sadistic person would purposely put a recipe like that together and then show it on TV. And then at the end, eat it and tell you how delicious it is. Mac and cheese is typically American, and that's cool. I'm down with mac and cheese. Not a problem. But wrapping it in bacon, that's the work of the devil. And then deep frying it on top of that, that's the work of Paula Deen, who appears to be worse than the devil. Hillbilly. Don't forget to tune in next week, neither. And get your youngins to watching, too, because we're fixing to show y'all how to deep-fry a brick of government cheese dipped in the egg batter and topped with bacon bits, mayonnaise, and deep-fried Snickers bars. Yee-hoo! That, my friends, is an eater. Y'all.
They may not know it, but as shoppers across America head to grocery stores, they're walking right in the middle of a war zone. A pricing battle between stores and food manufacturers that supply many of the products on the shelves. The casualties? Shoppers, who are venting about high food prices.
Isn't the customer always screwed? I don't know. That's what it seems like to me.
You know what's really gone up? String beans. String beans are like a dollar more a pound.
I see the price of some of the fruits that are sky high.
The major grocery store chains we contacted for this story either refused to talk or didn't respond. But last month, Safeway CEO told investors it's disingenuous to consumers that all commodity costs are coming down, interest rates are coming down, everything is coming down, and the national brands are taking their prices up. Food manufacturers say they charge high costs because their own expenses have gone up. Consumers wonder why. When prices of commodities such as fuel, corn, and wheat have all been going down, why then aren't food manufacturers turning those savings over to the stores they sell to?
They should be lowering their prices because of the economy.
Manufacturers such as Nestle and Kellogg refused requests for interviews, but Kellogg gave a statement saying, in spite of the recent drop in some commodities, prices for commodities are still well above historic averages.
I know everyone's going to look at commodity numbers in the newspaper and see that prices have come off of the highs that they were at. The problem is it's very hard for the food companies to sync up those price spikes that they saw early in 2008 with their decisions to change prices.
Consumer experts say manufacturers worry if they drop prices too soon, costs of commodities could unexpectedly rise again.
They don't want to have to keep on pulling back and then raising prices again. Again, it does cause some bad PR. So they had to make some painful increases in 2008. They don't want to draw those back very quickly in terms of permanent price cuts because of the uncertainty in the market.
You know, I guess only time was going to tell with this. I mean, I've been saying for a long time that grocery stores are kind of evil. I don't buy produce from grocery stores. You know, I've been encouraging you all to shop at your local farmers markets when you can, when it's in season, of course. But do your best to cut the co-ops and the middlemen out. The things that you absolutely need, perfect, but produce and meat and stuff, no. You're being ripped off. I mean, they're far from fair to regional farmers when they do purchase their produce from them. And a lot of what you're buying in these stores isn't even local. I mean, they purchase from Mexico and other countries. They make a lot of money. But they make really bad decisions in regards to who they hire, especially when they deal with unions, because I talked about the strikes before, too. And they either pass those expenses on to you, the consumer, or they make it up by nickel and diming the farms that grow the goods. We'll have to see what happens there. But listen, that's all I have this time. I appreciate you listening to the show. Music in this episode from POD. If you like the song, go to our website, mylifeasafoodie.com. Click on the link to the iTunes store, and you will own the song for 99 cents. Audio clips in this episode courtesy of The Onion at TheOnion.com, CNN at CNN.com, and Food Network, FoodNetwork.com. Until next time, my name is Phil. This has been My Life as a Foodie, and your life too. Wear it proud, foodies. Ciao.
I'm on a mad style-y, underground, we come cool and deadly, with that natural sound, it make you feel so free, you know, turn it down, 5619, from the south town, and Jah know, what I and I wanna do, because Jah know, I am my stay true, you know, Jah know, the real who is who, ain't no time to fake it, make it feel brand new, it goes 1, 2, 3, the crew is called P.O.D., and if you wanna go to the tip top, break it down with that one drop. Why, oh, execute these sounds.
take this crown. Babylon, test me, me go, smash them down. I reach an analogy, this is my playground. Don't take me serious, there you go, feel it now. I man, know the harder they come, because I man are gonna get the job done. You know I man, no they don't want none. May never have it cheat, cause me already won. 1904, home to the real hardcore. And you don't wanna sleep, don't talk, I'll break you down with that one drop. Why? Oh.